Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, wherever you're joining us from, we are so honored that you took the time to be on this broadcast with us. I have an amazing guest who is hanging out in the virtual green room to come and share with you. I know you are going to be so blessed. My honored guest for this episode is author, lecturer, storyteller, friend, sister, mentor, mother, grandmother, and every title that you can think of a woman wearing eloquently is my friend Yolanda Webb, or affectionately known as Lani Webb. She's hanging out with me, and I know just the way she has blessed my life over the years, she's going to be blessing your life as well. I want to welcome guests 578 to the chat. Please know that you are welcome to call in at any time with your questions once my guests begin, or if you have a remark or a suggestion or a feedback. If you're someone who has benefited from her work over the years, I want for you to call in. And here is how you can join the conversation. You may dial in at 646-915-8166. You can join us in the chat room and be part of the conversation that is going on there by logging on to blogtalkradio.com/Daphne-Clark-Hudson. But before I bring my honored guest on and go into the task at hand for this evening, I want to show some gratitude verbally, and also throughout the show this evening, I want to read different entries from my latest book, Celebrating 365 Days of Gratitude. But here is the gratitude that I want to take time this evening to extend. And the gratitude I want to extend is to my former schoolmates when I went to elementary school. You know, last night it all came alive that when we were there, if we weren't among the privileged families who went to high school, which I did not go, we would leave school at 15 years old, and then we would need to go pursue whether we're going to go to teachers' college if we had passed the Jamaica local exams or all of that. But now everything has changed because the kids now, they don't need to pass the common entrance. They automatically get to go to high school, and that's privilege. So yesterday, I was so honored. It was supposed to be the association meeting down in Mount Vernon, New York. And to my surprise, they had switched the meeting to the end of the month, and instead they had a welcome dinner where some of the executive officers for the association was there and some of the other members. So I want to thank my classmates, Ivan Richards, Trixie, Boyd, Ivan Richards, and Derek, Donald Miller, for such great time last night, such laughter. I mean, the food was good, but the laughter and us going over all the stories of when we were children. I took a few photos, and I'm going to be posting them on Facebook later on. But I just want to thank you guys so much for all the work that you have been doing at the old school over the years. And I'm looking forward to working with all of you. And my heavens, I tell you, Inez, I said to Inez Richards last night, I said, girl, you are a living archive. She remembers everything. And oh, we had such laughter last night. And just to look back at how rich our lives were. We were so poor, yet we did not know. You know, we mentioned about having one candy, and you would use either a bottle or a stone to break that candy so that each child could have a little taste in their mouth. You don't see that happening these days with children. So I'm just looking forward to what God has in store for us working together. So my gratitude goes out to them for starting the association and for going back to the school every 2 years to do a reunion and to let the children feel welcome and to see that they too can do better. So for that, I thank you. I want to share with you from Celebrating 365 Days of Gratitude, which I'm blessed to be one of the co-authors. I want to read the entry for October 7th, and the title for that entry is Blessed by God. In freshman year of college, I read Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich, coupled with biblical instructions on prayer. Hill's goal setting and visualization became a lifelong practice. On January 1st, 1984, having a child became a resolution. Praying as if the request had been granted, visualizing as if the goal had been achieved, I envisioned myself walking to our cabin in the snow, hand in hand with my child. The magnitude, greatness, and directness of God's answer to my prayer eventually hit me. It was a snowy morning with 6 inches of fresh powder on the ground. We were walking up the hill to our cabin. There was that kind of glow that nature takes on in the sun on a fresh cover snow. We were the first ones on the hill, so it was a void of footprints except those we left behind us. Beneath the snow was a slippery ice of melted and frozen snow from previous days. As I checked my balance, I looked down to my right, there holding onto my hand with her mitten-covered hand was Vanessa, just over a year old in her pink snowsuit and wool cap, exactly as first pictured 24 months earlier. Thank you, Warren L. Henderson, for this contribution. I think this is an on-time reading because I'm sure some of what I'm going to be hearing from my honored guest tonight is going to help us to put this in practice as we journey toward the light. Before I bring her on, which I'm going to be doing in a few moments, I want to remind you all that I am a life coach. That's what I do. I am an expert in the area of reinventing your life, whether it has to do with personal issues, career, relationships, whatever it is that you are looking to reinvent, whether you have been attacked by obstacles or adversities. I am the coach for you because I'll help to nurture you. I will help you to take advantage of those adversities so that you can live your life with purpose and passion by tapping into that authentic you. Know that your authenticity is the core of your being. There is no other Daphne out there. I know there's no other Yolanda. I know there is no other you. And I want you to understand that as well. So why don't you email me at dynamicdaphne1@gmail.com. I tell you, I want you to keep watching your mailbox and watch your Facebook pages, because in a couple of weeks I am going to be launching something powerful and you don't want to miss that. You want to be connected with me so you can get that information. It's going to help you to get some of the best services that you desire to make a difference in your life and to reinvent it. And for the first launch, you're going to be able to save a lot of money and get a lot of the wonderful services, both from myself and some of my experts that I have in my network. So if you are not yet following me, you can subscribe to me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter, connect with me on LinkedIn, Pinterest, everywhere out there. I am out there. So look for me and let us connect, because I am here to enhance and to impact your life. I want to welcome my sister friend, Dr. Vaj, for coming on to the show. She's another powerful teacher of the word. So when I see people like these come in the chat, I am so honored. So again, know that I expect you to be active in the chat room. I want you to call in and ask questions. The number to do that is 646-915-8166. And without any further delay, I want to bring on my honored guest, author, lecturer, speaker, mentor, sister friend, Yolanda Webb. How are you, Sister Lonnie?
I'm fine, Dr. Daphne. How are you?
I am so honored. I tell you, I'm always so pumped up when I'm in your company, because I tell you, my sister, being around you and, you know, talking to you, it's like being plugged into electricity, because you are that type of a woman. So I honor you. I know that you hold family in high esteem. So for you to take the time off this evening from your family to be here with us this evening, I know it's an honor. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. So yes, go ahead.
Honor is all mine. You know, first of all, the honor is of course all mine. And I consider, by extension, you to be a part of that family. You know, my sister friends are all a part of this family of mankind that we are supposed to celebrate at all times. And so my taking that time out is by extension including you into that family.
Thank you, my sister. Thank you, thank you, thank you. As always, I have a short bio for you. But as I always enjoy my guests or experts to just tell the listeners a little bit about who they are. It is great and good when I read it and everything, but I have found out that when I listen to speakers share from their heart about who they are, that's what I connect to. So would you please take a few minutes and tell the people who you are? And for those, it's not your first time here on the show, but for those who might be hearing you for the first time, I would love for you to give them a little part of your journey.
Well, I'm not one to say that I hold this and that title. I've done some things that the Creator has certainly opened doors and blessed my life for. You know, I've had the capacity to tell some stories. You know, part of what I do is photography. You know, I've owned my own business for the last 10 years, and that I'm truly grateful for that. You know, we've had our ups and downs, and through all of that, you learn some lessons about life. And, you know, I've had good relationships, bad relationships, just like anybody else. And so I tell people all the time, I'm no different than people sitting across from me. I've just had some favor from God, which I'm truly grateful and humbled by. But along the way, along what I call this journey back toward the light, are the lessons that, you know, I think that have spoken volumes to me. You know, I tell my stories through imagery, basically, because I am a photographer. I have the ability to tell my stories through imagery, capturing the pictures of life, those images of life. I've had the opportunity and the chance to live all over the globe, and so I've seen humanity. I have this saying that I say all the time to people, I'm not the same because I have had the chance to see the moon shine on the other side of the world. And I simply mean by that is that when you see people who are different from you by virtue, whether it is of their skin color, their religion, their culture, cultural background, but you see the same moon and you see the same sun rise and set upon them, you know that you're no different. You realize that they want the same things in life that you want, that they fight for their children, that they want their children to have good lives, good education, to be healthy and whole. And so I think, you know, for me, that's who I am. That's the person that I, you know, and have I made mistakes? That's what the journey towards the light is about. You know, I've had those mistakes. I've done things that I wasn't very proud of, but I've done some things that I've been extraordinarily proud and pleased by.
Yes.
So it's life is a balancing act. And so for me, I hope to continue to write and to take pictures that tell the story of life.
Yes.
And that
I hope
gives your listeners and anybody else a little bit about who Lonnie is. That's my name from childhood.
Yes.
I really,
yes.
Of course, it's Yolanda, but my father named me that. You know, it was just his name for me, and I used that in writing my books simply to honor my father.
Yes. You know, I am so excited that you mentioned about Lonnie, because you probably heard me at the top of the hour about spending time with a few of my my former classmates last night. I'm talking about classmates we went to school with. And, you know, it was such a joy and music to my ears when they said, "Sweetie Clark," because no one called me Daphne at school.
Right.
And nobody had said Sweetie. It was always Sweetie Clark. Because they put all the name together. And now that God has brought me to where I am, I'm still saying Daphne Clark Hudson. So you see, from the beginning, I was never one name. I tell you, it was such a blessing. One of the women who were there last night, she was not part of our district. She is in a relationship with someone who was there, and she was just sitting there. She was taking the pictures for us, but she was just having her eyes in motion, watching us and listening to us, and you could see the smiles on her face, but she was not able to contribute anything to the conversation because she had no idea of all the things that we spoke. And I sat there last night and I said, God, I just thank you for this opportunity, because we had not seen each other since we were 15 years old. And all of us were sitting there in our 60s. So God is faithful. He always give us. Yes, yes.
Absolutely. Well, you reminded me last weekend. I went back to my college reunion. I graduated from TSU, Tennessee State University in Nashville,
yeah.
And it was the 100th anniversary of that historically black university. And
wow.
I had been a part of the band. I had been a majorette. I was a former head majorette there, and
wow.
It was really one of the things that I left with was how I was known. My name there was Lonnie Webb. Nobody knew my name, Yolanda Webb, you know.
Mm.
And so as I drove back, one of the conversations that I had with God is that God always puts us in situations where people know the real us, meaning the
yes.
humble
yes.
us.
Yes,
you know,
yes,
well, once you
yes.
achieve a certain level of success in your life, that's the successful person. That's the person that the world has defined as being successful. But the people who know the you, the
that's
you
right.
that has become better you,
yes.
Are the people that know you by that name that you just described, the
mm-hmm.
Sweetie Daphne, you know.
Sweetie Clark,
and
yeah.
So I for an entire weekend transformed back to a Lonnie Webb, this person
yes.
that nobody, that
nobody
wasn't
else knows. That's right.
Right, that's no different from anyone else that had come up through this historically black university,
mm-hmm.
and you know, and I was still that same person, and so it
that's
was
right.
it was a very gratifying feeling. It was a very
yes.
humble
mm-hmm.
feeling to know that these people still saw me as little Lonnie Webb from Detroit,
wow.
Michigan. So, well,
my God.
God,
wow,
yeah.
Beauty! I want to welcome from Maryland, Mr. Thomas Smallwood. Thomas is somebody who is new in my network, and Lonnie, you're going to be hearing about him because this young man is doing some magnificent things in the entrepreneurial world, and you are on my list of people to introduce him to. So in a few weeks, you're going to be
well,
seeing
you.
what I'm doing with him. So I thank Thomas for coming on. Doc Vaj, I thank you, too, for coming on. I pray that you all will call in. The number to call is 646-915-8166. Now, without any further delay, Journey to the Light. What a powerful title. I have to tell my listeners, I have not read the book yet. But I tell you, I couldn't wait to read it together because I know anything my sister writes, it's good. So I had to get her on here before I read the book. And if you call in and you would like to speak, I want for you to press the number 1. So I know that you have a question and have a caller on. Let me just go to the caller, and if anything, I put the caller back on hold. And then I want us to begin by you telling us, Lonnie, about the title. But let me just acknowledge this listener, this caller, so they are not. Okay, they hang up. I guess they will call back. All right. Journey to the Light.
Journey towards the light. One of the things that I realized, and you know, over the last couple of years, I had suffered a great loss, a great friendship, a friend who I said walked into the light far too soon.
Mm-hmm.
And Journey towards the Light reminded me that from the day we are born, we are all headed back into the light, and it is what is it about the journey that defines us. And so as I began to put together some of the things that I was feeling and hearing in my spirit, I say in the introduction that one of the things that I realized about myself was that I had spent an enormous amount of time running from the Creator to do the thing that He had been most calling me to do, which was to listen. I didn't want to listen because listening often means a feeling of guilt or condemnation about the things that you are hearing, knowing
mm-hmm.
in your spirit that you are supposed to be doing it. So Journeying
mm-hmm.
Towards the Light is a book that helps you on your daily road back towards the light. One of the things that I don't think I said this earlier when you asked me about myself is is my master's degree is in humanities and theology, and I wanted to study, had always wanted to study the great religions of the world, and as I have done so, I recognize the commonality in each and every one of them. One of those common themes is this thing about sacrifice and this thing about giving. And I think one of the things that is, as particularly as in Christianity and in some of the other faiths, that we spend far more time on the issue of sacrifice than we spend on the issue of giving. Mm-hmm. And I think that God has asked us not to sacrifice. He doesn't need anything from us.
That's right.
You know, he's an omnipotent spiritual energy source. Mm-hmm. He doesn't need us. What he needs us to do is to give to people around us, those we love and those that we don't love.
That's right.
And he has demonstrated that act of giving through so many different things. The first that I talk about in the book is that when Abraham, in Abraham's time, if we look around at the times that we live in right now and what the whole Occupy movement was about, what's happening globally from an economic perspective, it's the exact same thing that was happening at the Tower of Babel during that time.
Mm-hmm.
When you know, people often think that the Tower of Babel was about languages and man's inability to communicate with one another. It wasn't the lack of communication, because if there had been a lack of communication, man would never have been able to have the ability to come together. It was the thing that they had, that they were unable to communicate about. What the problem was at the Tower of Babel was that the communication was about the haves and the have-nots. It was, as man, I want more, not necessarily less. And so so we began to see a communication breakdown. That's exactly what is happening around the world today. That's exactly what this political race is about. It is man's inability to have dialogue about the commonality of humanity. And so you see systems are breaking down. Life is not about the systems. Life is about our inability to communicate the value of the systems are. And so you see it begin to break down. And as we journey back towards the light, Dr. Daphne, it is imperative that we, rather than on Sunday mornings, we go to church and we learn about sacrifice. That's not the issue. The issue is giving. And giving starts as a thought. It's, you know, when John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave." He gave. He didn't sacrifice him. He knew exactly what was going to happen to him. What he did was he gave him to us. That wasn't a sacrifice on his part. He could have done anything.
That's right.
That wasn't a loss to him. He loved him. He knew he could resuscitate and revive him. That wasn't the issue.
He still gave. He wanted to show us.
He wanted to show us giving. Abraham did the same thing. Abraham gave his son to God.
Right.
That was an act of giving. That was an act of faith. It wasn't an act of sacrifice. It was an act of giving. And giving starts as a thought. And you I hear people say all the time, it's deeds, not words. It's your actions that speak louder than words.
No, it's not.
It never is, because all action starts with a thought.
With a thought.
You have to think something before you actually do it. And that's why you can control your actions, is because you can control your thoughts. So giving starts as a thought. And what we give turns into our actions. And so on any day, you can have thoughtful actions or you can have thoughtless action.
That tells you that
all action starts with a thought. And I think that we can change. That's what Journey Towards the Light is about. I believe we have the capacity to change the world, change ourselves in the world, if we only understood that the power to do that resides in our thoughts. And they are giving thoughts to others.
You know, it comes to mind, and I am glad that you have set up this dialogue this evening the way you have, because when we look on God giving his only son, and we look on Abraham giving his only son, neither of them was looking to say and holding on to say, oh no, this is my precious thing. Give me something else. And right. God is so faithful for them. What happened? When he got there, God had a ram in the bush for him. He did not have to sacrifice his child. Yet, we don't hear even traditional religions that choose to use that biblical illustration. They don't tell the story like how you tell it. And, you know, I think it was 2 weeks ago I was having a conversation with a friend of mine. And she was sharing about a friend she has that it doesn't matter what she does, she cannot encourage him to go back to church because he says all the ministers want from church is your money. And that man, I think, is in his 60s or something now. And there was an experience with his parents when he was a boy and with this money issue in the church. And it split the family. And he still hold on to it now. He has not healed from that. And this is why we as a people need to go seek for the information for ourselves and study for ourselves. Because not because you are going into a quote-unquote church 365 days a year, it doesn't mean that you are going to be taught the lessons that you need to hear.
But I think, you know, Daphne, Dr. D, I think we have to understand that it's never the church. The church is a building. The church is a place where people can gather and congregationally fellowship with one another. Mm-hmm. Nobody can control your thoughts. Two people that I admire, one happens to be an individual who spent his entire childhood in a Jewish concentration camp under Hitler. And the one thing that he constantly reminds me of is the fact that during that time, the only thing he still had that no one had the capacity to take was his ability to think for himself. So, you know, not even a building, not a church, not a synagogue, nobody can take your ability to think for yourself away from you unless you just arbitrarily give it away. And people give it away every day. And we see it now during this political, you know, the political process that's going on. People blindly follow, I don't care what side you're on, but people blindly follow whatever is being said by the media pundits. People jump on the bandwagon and all of a sudden, you know, they're off and running with something because they don't think for themselves. If you thought about a lot of this for yourself, then you would understand how the entire process works, you know, not just the sound bites, not just how the sound bite works. You know, think about it this way. When we can give kind, loving thoughts of compassion, mercy, grace, and forgiveness to each person we encounter, and then that person in turn does that to the next person they meet, and so on and so on and so on, the world could look different. It could be a different place.
That starts
with choice. And so it is people's choice not to like me because of skin color, education, my prior bad acts or sins.
Gender.
Origin, gender. That's a choice. People make a choice to hate.
That's right.
People make a choice to not like something. People, and it's their right to. I'm not saying that they don't have a right to do that. But what I'm saying is that they also have a right to think. You know, it's funny because somebody told me once that even the mob loves their family. And that's absolutely right.
That's right.
They make a choice not to like somebody else, but they make a choice, too, to love the people in their inner circle and to love their family.
Mm-hmm.
So all of this, for each and every one of us, is a choice. It's
a choice
to think kind thoughts, but it's also a choice to think thoughts that are destructive, that are mean, that are hateful. All of it is a choice. Your actions, I will debate people tooth and nail. It is never your actions that determine the quality of person that you are. It is your thought.
That's right.
That the person that you are, because you can do a lot of things, but all of those things have originated with
from
thought.
Your thoughts. That's right, because especially those who make the decision to do negative things or bad things, you have to first dehumanize the person. For you use the mob as an illustration. They are killing people and they're doing that. But they love their families, as you say, so they dehumanize those other people. And with that thought, all right, they are no longer human, so now I can do to them the things that I don't do to the people who I treasure.
Well,
you know?
Think about it this way. You know, people, sex is a topic people don't like to often talk about, but it's an act of procreation.
Mm-hmm.
But before you ever lay down with another person, you have given that some thought. You have
good
thought.
Thought.
About it. You thought about it. You thought about whether or not you like the way they look. You've thought about whether or not you think you're going to have a good time. You've thought about whether or not this is somebody you want to spend the rest of your life with.
Before
two people ever come together in the act of a sexual encounter, they thought about it. So when people say, oh, my gosh, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have slept with them.
No,
I got
that's
this
not
child.
True. You talk
I got
about
this child. The action didn't come first.
That's right. You thought about it a long time.
Right. Mm-hmm. What came first was the thought. And so you can control that thought. And so I don't think that any of it, I don't believe that any of our actions are out of our control. I simply don't believe that. And I believe that if you want to really enjoy this life, journey back towards the light of this life, then you understand that everything you do, everything can be disciplined and controlled through your thoughts. And people say, well, I don't have time to do that. Well, but you think all day long, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Yes, you do. The discipline is whether or not you can listen to yourself. That's the discipline. How long are you listening to yourself? How often do you listen to yourself? You know, people with battered and bruised egos are listening to self-talk that says to them that they are no good, that they aren't lovable. And so people listen to that all day long, but you don't listen, what you don't listen to and what the majority of people don't listen to is that self-talk that says, I'm great, I'm made in God's light, I can do this.
Right.
That's
do all things.
All
things. All things.
Right. That's what faith is. That's being made in the light of the Creator. When God said in the beginning, let us make man in our
own
image.
Yes.
When you think about an image, an image is a thought. It's in your head. It's something that is an action. An image is in your head. And so, consequently, when he said in his word, let us make man in our own image. An image is a thought. So think
That's
about
right.
what's in your head and the image that you have of yourself. And then you can tell yourself, I am made in the likeness of God.
That's right. And once you have that embedded in you, no one can tell you otherwise. I always like to back up a discussion like this with this story, the Walt Disney story. I'm sure you know it very well. At the official opening, when somebody said to Mrs. Walt, oh, I wish Walt was here to see this. And she corrected the person. She said, he already saw it.
That's right.
Because he created that. He saw it. We had to wait for it to be constructed. But he saw it all.
Right, he saw it all. That's exactly right. He saw it all, and that's when people like my friend who survived in a concentration camp, when they survived, and people say, "Oh, I don't know how you could have survived," because he tells them all the time, "I survived because I could see it in my head that I would survive. I could
that's
see
right.
that I was stronger than my situation." Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when people say, "I don't think I'm going to make it," I don't think I'm going to make it. They have made up their mind in their head.
Not to make it.
That's right. It's in their head. They can't see their life beyond whatever is going on in their present situation, in their present life. They can't see beyond that. But on the journey back towards the light, from the day we are born until the day we enter the light, we are given a choice. We are given a choice to see ourselves as being made in the image, the likeness of God. And if we think about what the likeness of God is, God doesn't look like mankind. He came down life force to look like us so that we wouldn't reject him.
But he doesn't look
like us. He's a thought.
Right.
He's an energy source. And so in Genesis, when it says, let us make man in our own image, I think we have to profoundly think about what that means. It doesn't let me make you look beautiful like me. You know, it doesn't mean that. It means let me give you the capacity to think, visualize, see the way I do. That's being made in the image of the Creator. And that's what the book Journey Towards the Light is about. Every chapter is one page, because I want to have a daily reading. You know, the chapters are entitled Humility, the Source of My Stress, the Language of Friendship. You know, one of the things that I talk about is our use of language, words, what we say, what we speak into our lives. You know, one of my favorite words to hate, and I say that jokingly, but is the word but. You know, you can butt yourself out of so much. You know, you can say in one breath that I know that I'm qualified, but. Well, you just
canceled that you know that you're qualified.
I mean, you
just canceled
you
your qualification.
But anytime you put the word "but" into the mix of anything,
you can't do that first thing.
Canceled out what you were saying to yourself. And so, you know, as I work with people, and I'm not like you. I only write books. I do speaking engagements. I love to speak around the country on issues like this and abroad, and I've done several of those. I'm not a coach by any stretch of the imagination, but I do work with people individually. I work with people because what I want them to see is what I see in them. One of the things that I talk about in the book is the gift that I spent a lifetime running away from, and people used to say all the time, you are so good with people. And I'm good with people because I tend to see people as God wants them to be seen.
Right there.
Would
you hold that thought right there? If you are just joining me, you are listening to the voice of author of Towards the Light, Lonnie Webb. I want for you to call in. The number is 646-915-8166. Call in and ask the question. Yes, you are mentioning the different titles, and I was going to ask you to list some of those. And if you so feel led to, I would want to ask you to read certain sections from the book. I mean, you're not going to read it all for them not to go pick the copy up. But I want you to just choose different section. We have 46 minutes remaining in the show. But I'm praying that people will call in and ask a question, because I know there are many people who are not walking toward the light. And this book is going to help everyone who reads it to walk toward the light and understand what that means. Because, you know, we are getting ready to move up to an election. And believe me, you got to be clear about the direction of your light, or else you are going to make the wrong vote. So people need to no longer just think about what their parents or their grandparents, who they used to vote for. But seeing that toward the light is the topic this evening, you look and see who is really going in the direction of the light and who you want to support in that way. So we have to begin to think for ourselves, not allow the media to feed us with all the garbage. And I want to, I think this person has a call question, so I'm going to go to the caller. Just hold on for me, please. Cool. Caller, good evening. Your last four digits are 1913. Do you have a question? Would you state your name and where you're calling from, please?
Hello, Ms. Daphne. My name is Thomas. I'm calling from Ocean City, Maryland.
Hello, Mr. Smallwood. Well, thank you and welcome to the show. Thank you for coming and thank you for calling in. What can we answer for you?
Oh, well, thank you for having me on. Nice to meet you, Miss Lonnie.
Oh, nice to meet you too, Mr. Smallwood.
Yes, I have a question. You're speaking volumes to me. Definitely when you're talking about you're in control of your thoughts. Me being a freelancer, I do a lot of work from home. I operate my own business. And I have been doing this for about 4 years now, but I still find myself struggling to always stay focused on what's the task ahead, because working at home, there's so many distractions. You have your TV, you have a lot of your things that you like to get distracted with. I was wondering, do you have any self-tactics that you like to use to always stay focused and always keeping your visions and thoughts the main priority?
I do. As a matter of fact, I get up every morning, and I have written down, and I keep it right next to my computer. I actually work off of two computers every day. One of the things that I say to myself on my priority list every morning is that the distractions come first. In other words, I get out of the way anything that I believe will distract me from the day. I say good morning to my granddaughters. I call them, say good morning to them in the morning, get that out of the way. I get my email check out of the way, because once I am finished looking at my email, I don't go back and look at them anymore until the next morning. So whatever is sent to me after 10 o'clock, I don't look at it because that can be a distraction.
Yes.
I don't turn the television on at all. My daughter says more often than not that the world will come to an end, and I won't know it because I don't have the TV on. I tend to not typically watch television until the weekends, and that's okay with me. You have to decide what your own priorities are in terms of what works best for you. The other thing, Mr. Smallwood, is that I have built in a nap in my day. You know, when you work for somebody else, you can't necessarily do that, but you could go out to your car on your half an hour lunch break or your hour break and do that. You know, we tend to not allow our bodies to do what nature has intended for them to do. Most people think that in order to get the hustle on, you got to work, work, work. You don't, because more often than not, the great idea, the big idea, the thought that takes you to the next best possible place comes in rest. It doesn't come in trying to make it happen, trying to force it to happen. Everything I've learned comes from watching nature. If you watch animals, if you watch anything, it rests during the day. It always has. You know, animals tend to take 3-4 naps during the day. My dogs, you know, they go off and they go to sleep for 15 minutes. And then they're up and ready to take on the next project that they have for the day. We don't allow ourselves as humans to do that because we have become convinced that we got to get our hustle on. Well, if you've ever been around wealthy people, they don't do that. They don't operate like that. They rest. They get up in the morning, get their cup of coffee, get the distractions of life out of the way, and then they set forth on their schedule of daily activities. By 1 or 2 o'clock, they're sitting in front of the television, sitting outside on the sun porch, going off to play a game of golf, something that relaxes their mind, because they know that what they do in those moments of rest is where inspiration comes. But we're so busy trying to make it happen. It's going to happen anyway, because if the Creator has led you to it, He's going to lead you through it. And so you have to understand that trying to force His hand in making it work is never going to get you there any sooner. What's going to get you there is your ability to hear Him. You can't hear what He's telling you if you're so actively engaged in making it happen. You have to ask yourself, and I tell people this all the time, everybody's got the same amount of time in a day. Everybody. So why is it that people who appear to be extraordinarily successful, they didn't do it because they had 28 hours in a day?
That's right.
They didn't do it because they had 32 hours in a day. They didn't. They have the same amount of time you and I have been given. They look at time differently.
And utilize and plan it differently.
No, they don't necessarily. They plan it differently because they plan rest into it.
Exactly. Quiet.
Into it.
Quiet
time. They plan enjoyment into it. You know,
quiet
they
time.
Do. Because your body needs both rest and enjoyment in order to fulfill its destiny. And if you don't do that and allow that to happen in your day, then you won't get to that place where you're wanting to go. God knows you want to get there. He knows what you want. He is going to take you there. But when you get there, he needs you to be healthy and whole also.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
My God, can I tell you, I'm sure maybe Mr. Smallwood is going to be happy to hear this, because coming up in a few weeks, there are going to be webinars that address this topic that you call about. We are going to have webinars on removing life's clutter, getting the distractions out of your life. We are going to have webinars and daily habits and practices. Isn't that amazing?
Yes,
yeah,
that sounds great. And
so,
the Miss Lonnie, the resting thing, I feel like you're talking directly to me. This is something I feel like I need to put into practice. Thank you for the tip.
You're welcome. Dr. D, suggested that I read one of the chapters out of the book. And it's the chapters page. Let me read that, because I think, Mr. Smallwood, it also will speak volumes to you. And so it's called The Nature of Things. Mm. As I began morning contemplative meditation with God, his words struck such a chord in my life. What I heard was something so true. In nature, there are no rewards or punishments. Even when man exercises his ability to choose, there are only consequences from actions. I am entering a place of such peace, and I recognize I have had to get here through a weary winter of pain to understand the nature of things. As I looked out the window with my morning cup of coffee in hand, I could hear the birds singing and the grass and trees bearing life again. I understand now that nature is the embodied spirit of the Creator. Nature in its silence carries the Creator's thoughts. It doesn't shout to announce its arrival of the seasons. As I anticipate the rose bush, the African violets, the daisies and daffodils, my garden of cucumbers, strawberries, and tomatoes, it's not lost on me how beautiful it all is. If the Creator's thoughts are what make nature, then the thoughts of the Creator must be beautiful. In silence, we can sense the presence of God in a flower and realize that his message to us is in its beauty and its smell. Today, as I move closer towards the light, I see the trees swaying in the breeze against the mountain's backdrop and know that it's the nature of things to be reborn and restored each and every season. That's life's story. That's our life story. As we look out from beyond the long, weary months of hot summers and cold winters, our lives can often reflect those weary, long months as well. Yet nature reminds us, as the great Seneca once said, everything is the product of one universal creative effort. There is nothing dead in nature, because that's the nature of things.
Mm. Wow.
That
wow.
simply means that nature takes its opportunity to rest. Nature takes its opportunity to come in roaring like a lion as the seasons change, or it takes its time and comes in so quietly that we don't even realize that it just got cold because we weren't prepared for it, or all of a sudden, it's 90 degrees and we weren't prepared for that. So when we take our cues from what the Creator is showing us, it exists all around us every single day, because it's a universal thought. It's a thought that's in you that says that you will one day be extraordinarily successful, Mr. Smallwood. Hear it.
I have to... excuse me. Someone in the chat room said, just type simply love it. That's what someone in the chat room. I'm hoping that they will find a question to call in and to just express that. And, oh, my God, I can't wait to read the book. in its entirety. But I tell you, Mr. Smallwood could not have called in at a better time. And for the Spirit to have you choose that reading for his question, that's powerful.
I love it.
That's powerful, powerful, powerful. If you are just joining, you are listening to Lonnie Webb, author of the new book, Toward the Light. Use this opportunity to call in with your questions and to just tap into her knowledge and experience of what this journey has been for her. We encourage you to call in 646-915-8166. Is that it, Mr. Smallwood? Do you have any other questions or remarks?
I believe you already blown my mind away. I got a lot to think on. So, yes, right now I feel filled.
And one of the other things I will add to what Ms. Lonnie has said, I know you guys don't like to do it, but seeing that you and I are going to be working closely together, I encourage you to start journaling. When you take your quiet time, I know you have small children and all of that, but you got to find a little time for you because your business is getting ready to soar. You are not going to be the same that you have been for the past 4 years. And you need to start spending some quality time because during those times, you are going to be getting some new things that nobody else knows about how to use that. But you are going to be blessed with those things that you can use those things to bless your clients. So wherever, whether you're going to go in your car to sit down, make sure you have something next to you to write with. It's not a shame. It's not a crime to sit down and do nothing and close your eyes because those are the times when we get all the powerful things.
Yeah.
That's true. Mr. Smallwood, I know that God, if he has placed it on your heart, because everything always starts as a thought. Understand that the Creator always grants us his knowledge through our thoughts. And so if he's placed this in you, that this is the thing that he is calling you to do, you know, that run with it, do it. I ran from it, you know. I ran from it for years. One, I don't think I considered myself a writer. I'm a photographer by trade, I'm a business owner. I've owned my own business for the last 10 years. That's what I did. I looked at my life externally from the material in terms of what success was. And I look now at what success is by the amount of peace that I have.
Mm-hmm.
That's what success is.
Mr. Smallwood. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Lonnie.
No, I was just going to say, the thing that money does is money gives you the ability to make some different choices, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't
mm-hmm.
give you peace.
That's right.
So define your success by peace, the amount of
mm-hmm.
peace that you have in your life. That's
mm-hmm.
a successful life because most people
mm-hmm.
don't enjoy peace.
Most
that's people
right.
don't have any idea of what peace really, really, really is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a successful life. The other stuff will come when you find that peace.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, even I was privileged to have a telephone meeting with Mr. Smallwood this past week. And even the name of his business and how he chose it, when I listened to it, Lonnie, that was a directive from God, and I don't know if he realized that. Would you like to share with Miss Lonnie how you chose the name of your business?
Yes, I would like to share it. The name of the business is Kwagu. That's spelled Kwagu. Before
mm-hmm.
I started the business, I used to work with kids. I used to work as a pre-K teacher. And through the years, just working with kids, I just loved their enthusiasm, the passion that they had of, like, chasing ideas, chasing dreams. And I always felt just working with kids, I always wanted to keep that mind frame, even when I knew that I was going to venture off and do something else because I was going to school as a computer science major. Well, when I started my company, that's something I kept true to, and I named my company Kwagu, which stands for Kid Minds with Adult Minds Give Youth. So I believe if you have a kid-minded, if you have a kid mind, you have creativity, passion, and you have an adult mind, work ethic, planning, organization, structure, that's when you can give use. That's when you can give great value, more of yourself.
Right. I like it.
Isn't it something? I could not believe it when I heard. Yes. Well, I want to thank you. We have 29 minutes remaining. And I leave you open, Mr. Smallwood. If you have something else, you can just say it and we'll bring you on. Gomercindo, thank you for your remark about loving it and taking it that you're enjoying the show. If you can call in and you have any questions for my guests, I would appreciate it. The number is 646-915-8166. And again, you're listening to Lonnie Webb, author of Toward the Light, which is her newest book. Before you continue with this, discussing this book, would you like to mention some of your other writings, please?
Sure. My other books include the bestseller, which was Lack Does Not Live Here. It's a book about prosperity, and it talks to particularly black women about what does it take to live a prosperous life. It's the real principles of prosperous living. You know, one of the things that had often frustrated me was you know, going to church on Sunday and seeing women jumping around and hollering and screaming, and then they couldn't pay their rent or their mortgage on Monday. And I thought, you know, that what that does is it does a disservice and an injustice to God,
mm-hmm.
Creator, because, you know, he doesn't want us to live lives of lack. We are supposed to live lives of abundance. And so the book Lack Does Not Live Here teaches the real principles of prosperous living. It teaches how do you create wealth, and then how do you hold on to wealth? You know, because I think typically, historically, particularly you know, folks of African and African American descent, we hadn't been taught about money and the power of money and what it does. You know, one of the things that I ask in the book, and in Lack Does Not Live Here, is to take your age and then look at every year that you have been in the workforce. And if you're 54, 55 years old, typically, you have probably earned more than $1 million. For some people, it's $2, $3, $4, $5, $6 million. And then I ask you to ask yourself, where is it?
That's right.
What did you do with it? What did you do with it? Because if you had just saved up 1 year's earnings, you could have bought your house right out, flat out, you know, no mortgage. And so we tend to don't look at money the way other people look at money in other cultures. And so that's what Lack Does Not Live Here is all about. The other book is The Soul of My Sister, Love Never Ends. And it's a love story, but it's about the first and original Bible. You know, the story is about Nefertiti and her husband Akhenaten, who was actually the father of one God. Yeah, he started this concept of one God. And the book that he used and he worshipped out of was historically named the Book of the Dead. It held a lot of the principles that were in the Hebrew Bible, and so my story surmises and takes some liberty with the fact that he was at war, their dynasty was at war with another dynasty. The people in his dynasty were forced to cross, guess what, the Jordan River, which is the river that Moses the Red Sea, which was the sea that the children of Israel were forced to cross. He had a gentleman that was a part of his inner circle whose name was Moses, which is what we now know is the shortened name of Moses, and Moses took these children and led them across the Red Sea. And so he took that Book of the Dead with him and that concept of one God with him. And so I've taken some liberty to do some research on it, but The Soul of My Sister, Love Never Ends, talks a little about the love story between these two historical icons, Nefertiti and her husband, who were African, but also it talks about this Book of the Dead, this first original Bible that we got, the what we now know is the modern Hebrew Bible, which it really literally generated itself from, and it looks at how that came to be. And so that is one of the other books that I've written. The other is a journal called Have a Little Talk with God. You were talking to Mr. Smallwood about journaling, and the book was written, Have a Little Talk with God, with a saying on each day to give you some motivation. And how do you have a conversation with God? What do you talk to God about? Most people go to God with, I need, I want, please, 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 help me.
Mm-hmm.
And God just wants to talk with him. He just wants to talk to him about what is on our hearts and our minds. And so the journal is in, you know, Have a Little Talk with God. And and my fourth book was in conjunction with another powerful writer in her own right, Gigi Gossett. And we wrote a book for young adults. Girls, young girls, between the ages of 8 and 14, 15. And it's called A Twizy Girl Mystery. And it's kind of based on the old Nancy Drew Hardy Boys kind of writing. But the girls, the Twizy girls, and Twizy stands for The World Is Yours. It's a group of young black girls in a high school setting who have, you know, this opportunity to perform and actually be discovered by a scout who's coming to the school because he had graduated from the school sometime earlier. And he's coming back to his high school. They're putting on a musical in California, but the costumes have all disappeared, and they're gone. And the Twizy girls come to the rescue with all the teenage angst that you can imagine that is out there, you know, personalities and boy-girl love and you know, mom and dad and the whole thing. So it's a cute, wonderful story for young African and African-American girls to think about the power of friendship, the power of love, and the power of independence in thought in terms of not following the crowd. And that's what these
No peer pressure. No peer pressure.
Right.
Love it.
By Twizy Girls. And so those are the other books that I've written.
And I tell you, I did not ask Lonnie before, but after this show, I'm going to ask her to make a package of all five of her books available to my listeners, and it will be part of the launch that will be coming up in a few weeks. And I know, beautiful. This is beautiful. So we'll talk about having this as part of the new launch.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. Yeah. Listen, guys, we only have 22 minutes remaining, so this is your opportunity. We are speaking with Lonnie Webb, author of her newest book, Towards the Light. Towards the Light. And we have one caller. Let me take the caller. Hello, caller. Your last four digits are 4761. Would you state your name and where you're calling from, please?
My name is Zido. I'm calling from Philadelphia.
Hello. How are you, sir? Thank you so much. Thank you so much for calling in. Do you have a question? Go ahead.
Yeah, I have a sort of a comment. I've been here one time before at the show, and you had said something so amazing that made me come back.
I thought I recognized that voice.
you know, I keep coming back to the show occasionally. I just listen in. But today I want to make a comment because the thoughts that you have and the thoughts that your guests have are right on the money on how I wish to see things and how I've lived in my life. Now, let's just talk about nature. And I mean, it's so simple. You know, God gave us a glorious planet to enjoy, and here we are complicating it and destroying it. And then we spoke about distractions, and I've always talked about that. And I speak to children. I'm a mentor, so I speak to children on drugs and alcohol and stuff like that. And when I speak to them, I make it very clear to them that they have to change their way of thoughts because you're thinking what you're going to project out there and what's going to make you. So distractions are very, very, very bad, but we all have them. And we have to learn that no matter how, you're going to accept it, nothing is going to change for you. You know, you have to change. If you want to feel a better position, then you have to put yourself in that position. You know,
that's
someone can curse me, And I just might laugh at it. But someone will curse somebody else. They'll pull out a gun and shoot them. It's how you take those things
right.
around. And unfortunately, most of the people today are taking all this negative stuff in. And they're calling each other haters and everything.
Yeah.
Now, so I appreciate what the sister was saying about nature. I mean, I was flirting with that. It's so beautiful. And I think that this is how we have to know how to think. We forgot how to think. We think in the old-fashioned, I don't know, go back to the simpleness. It's simple. It's not complicated. You live, you're going to die. You're going to die one day. Why distress yourself out in the meantime? Here we got so many Bibles, so many religious books. Yeah, we only have one God. And then you have so many people fighting about it. You know, it's so ridiculous at times. So I appreciate your sisters for both of you, what you're saying. And,
thank you.
I just want to say thank you. And the sisters' book, I wanted to get the website.
Okay. The book is available on, just go into LonnieWeb.
Okay.
.com.
Okay. Thank you very much. I will pick it up.
Okay,
God bless
you.
Thank you so much.
The book is also available on Amazon.com.
Okay, thank you much.
Okay, thank you.
All
Dr.
right.
Daphne,
yes, ma'am.
Dr. Daphne,
yes,
I
ma'am.
I wanted to read one other short.
We have 18 minutes remaining, so it's moving up to the time when you can read that, and then we're going to summarize your thoughts. This was a powerful show.
I think this is important, I think, for your listeners to hear. This particular chapter is called Reflection, the Light Within. I hear the phrase, deeds, not words, all the time. While action is always necessary in order to move life forward, most action is often a reflection of the inconvenience of thought. It is said, everyone and everything that shows up in our life is a reflection of something that is happening inside of us, and I believe that to be true. When we are honest with ourselves, we realize that some people on our path are never meant to be there. They are simply there to take our lives off the path of good that the Creator has set us upon. When I woke up this morning, I threw open the windows and was greeted by the peace, the beauty, and the joy of the morning. I was greeted by the warm sunshine, the bird's song of love and joy, and the love of the Creator. As painful as parts of my life's journey have been, I have arrived at the destination of peace, love, and joy, a reflection of how I feel about the life and purpose I have been given. I remember a point in my life that I was convinced that deeds, not words, was how one should live his life. I am no longer convinced of that, for all deeds start with thought or words from within. Yet when we don't take time to reflect on those thoughts, those words from within, the deeds are often selfish, self-centered, egotistical, and wrong. Today, as I move closer towards the light, I have learned that who we are is a reflection of the intelligence that produces everything. I am simply extending that intelligence in my actions. We mimic the mind of God when we remember it is always words, reflective, contemplative thought, then action, deeds, in which God created the world.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Wow. Oh, I am so glad. I am so glad that we spent this time, because I know this, with this fall season, it's a new season, and this book is going to help people to just evolve to where they need to be at this time in their lives. I want to give you an opportunity to tell people where to find the book after you have summarized your conversation. There is so much wealth of information and experience that you have shared and knowledge. If you can, in some way, just pick out some high points, bullets, if you may, that you want to leave the listeners with.
I want to leave them with something that's very simple. You know, make peace with yourself. You know, discover the person that you were meant to be. Find the courage to let go of all that which holds your life back on your journey, and move yourself beyond your pain. The gentleman that we just spoke to said it very nicely. He said, you know, this life is supposed to be lived in peace. And that from the day we're born, we're all heading back towards the light. That's what Journey Towards the Light is all about. We are all headed in the same direction, the direction from which we came. When we remember along the way that it is not deeds and then words. God made the world through his thought first and then his action. He thought about it. We don't know how long he thought about making a world, but he thought about it. His actions didn't come first. You know, his actions came second. He even thought about it, Dr. Daphne, before he destroyed it the first time with the flood. He thought about that. It pained him, but he thought about it, and then he took action. So it's always words and thoughts within. Words come first. The thoughts come first, and then your actions. So if you train your mind, if you train yourself, if you understand that everything in our life is a reflection of what we thought about. So the life that we want is a reflection of what we thought of, what we think about. When we think about and we see people that are successful and wealthy, we think they got there through some form of their action. No, more often than not, they groomed in environments where it told them that they were worthy of all of this.
That's so right.
That was always their ongoing thought, that I'm entitled to this, I'm worthy of this. But if you've lived in an environment that says that you're nothing, that you're going to always live in the hood, the ghetto, the this or that, and that's your thought.
That's what you're manifesting.
That's what you're manifesting, and you can never move beyond that. But when you see yourself, when you say to yourself, I am worthy. I am worthy of love. I am worthy of success. I'm worthy of power. I'm worthy of this gift of life. When you say that, when you can say that, genuinely say that to yourself every day, guess what? That's what will show up in your life.
That's right.
That's what will manifest itself in your life.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Whether you're listening to this live or on the archive, in a couple of weeks, you'll be able to check my new launch site. You'll be able to get all five of Lonnie Webb's books. You know, one you probably say, oh, it won't be for you, but you can always give it to a young girl as a gift or a young person. But I tell you, all these books, you need to have and read them, because it is going to give you the revelation that you need to have. You will no longer be pointing fingers and blaming this party and that party and this government and the neighbor and the cat and everybody. These books will give you the opportunity to take responsibility and allow you to have a honest conversation with that person who is looking back at you in the mirror, because
that's
the person who is responsible for our result.
I want you to tell
people how to reach you, how they can contact you. And again, your website is LonnieWebb.com. They can connect with you on Twitter. They can connect with you on Facebook. Or they can connect with you on LinkedIn. Listen, want to be part of this ladies' network. So go ahead, tell folks.
Facebook, on Facebook, people just, by my name, Yolanda Webb, YOLANDAWEBB. If you send me a friend request, I friend everybody or subscribe to my updates, you'll see that I update every day with something from the book, from the journey, from my journey. I want people to be able to live the kind of lives that I believe that we were placed here for. You can also connect with me, as you said, on Twitter. On Twitter, it is Lonnie Webb. You can also follow our Images by Elan site, where we put up a lot of the photography that we do with our company, and so you can follow that. It's Images by Elan. The book, the best and easiest way, I got to tell you, to get the book is from Amazon. They do a wonderful job for us. You can even get it on your Kindle or your iPad. And so Amazon.com, put in my name, and there you'll find all of the books under Lonnie Webb. So if you just put in my name under Amazon.com, It'll come up with a list of all of the books that Amazon is currently selling for us. You know, some are available, like a lead at, I don't want to say Borders, but Books and Company, and there's one other bookseller, nationwide bookseller. It's Barnes & Noble's, and so you can get it there as well. But the easiest, I got to tell you, they do a two-day delivery turnaround on it. We've gotten some really great responses from people who have simply gone to Amazon.com, and in 2 days they've received your book. So Amazon has been very quick to ship the books out. And
good.
So
And we are going to make a package so that people can pick up all five together from our website. So we will send that information out. And yes, I wish I could say that I can friend everybody who send me a request on Facebook, but I am over my 5,000. But what you can do, you can subscribe to me on my page, and you can like all my different pages. And please like this show, Market Favorite. I want you to go to the show page, write a remark about today's show, what your experience was, paste it on your Facebook pages so people will listen to it. I'm looking for your support and your help in building. Let more people hear about this show. So if you have not yet connected with us on Facebook or Twitter, and all the other places, please do so. Again, I'm always honored when I have guests who believe in that journey that I have been called to do. I want to remind you that we are on the air twice a week. On Wednesdays, we deal with the education, inspiration, and empowerment of entrepreneurs and small business people. And on Sundays, we do powerful life stories like the one you listened to this evening. And I tell you something. You know that we always don't have authors on, but you see that this was no ordinary author. It is a manual for life change, and that's why I invited her. If you know of anyone who has a powerful, empowering, reinventing story, I want you to ask them to contact me. I look for your emails. Email me dynamicdaphne1@gmail.com. And I want you to stay connected with me because, listen, do I have a launch for you coming up in less than 2 weeks? Brace yourself because it's like nothing you have ever seen before. You just got to stick there with me, and I want you to subscribe to all my lists and everything so you don't get missed out. So, again, what can I say? It was a powerful, powerful, powerful show. I'm so thankful for my honored guests for loving us all enough to come and just give us so much love. Thank you.
Thank
May you continue to walk in the light, and I know...
Absolutely.
As your light brightens, so will the rest of the world be. And I don't know if you have a closing thought you want to give to your people. And let me see, somebody in the chat room is typing. Let me see if it's a question for you. But in the meantime, if there's something else you want to say,
people
please
can
go
always
ahead.
Connect. I forgot to mention email. People can always connect with me via email. My email address is Elon, E-L-O-N, my first name, Yolanda, Y-O-L-A-N-D-A, @gmail.com. So it's Elon, all lowercase, Elon Yolanda, @gmail.com.
All right. I put that in the chat room. I put that in the chat room, too.
Okay.
All right. I was looking to see... Oh, love your show and your guests. May God continue to bless you. Thank you very,
Thank you very much, sir.
And it's
thank
such a
much.
Wonderful time. Again, I encourage you to go out there and pick up the book. It is Towards the Light by Lonnie Webb.
Towards the Light.
And
yes, Journey
Towards the Light. And you will be hearing a lot more from her, because we are going to be doing some things together, and it's going to be just moving people towards the light. towards the ladder, and I'm just so thankful for all the people who are listening online, for those people. Yes, you didn't call in, but I know when the things get good here, you guys don't call in. You just sit and you just enjoy. But I love each and every one of you. We have hit our 45,000 plus listeners on the show. And I thank you, I thank you, I thank you. We have over 71,000 who have visited our site. And I thank you. I thank you guys so much. Keep supporting. Keep sending people here. And let us know what you're doing. Again, I want to thank my sister and friend, Lonnie Webb, for,
thank
oh,
you.
Girlfriend, you did it again. You
thank you, Dr.
Again.
D. I love you.
I love you.
For, love what you're doing. It is simply about getting people to have powerful lives, and you do
yes.
such a dynamic job at that.
Well,
yes, as you're known as Dynamic Daphne, you
yes.
do such a dynamic job at that. And I'm one of those people that's grateful that God has placed you on the journey and
yes.
on the path along with me. And so
I'm absolutely
grateful to the Creator for that.
Thank you so much. And Mr. Smallwood, thank you. I hope this won't be your only time at the show. I want to thank you so much. And I tell you, remember that you are created for a destiny. And so long as you maintain the control of your thoughts, no one will be able to derail you from this journey. So stay walking toward the light. And by doing so, you will be able to manifest your destiny. Stay blessed.
Open that business. and directed me, hallelujah, to my destiny. I know what I'm here for. Tell the Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. For every trial that came with the slave. Hallelujah. For every struggle that came with the slave. I'm mighty grateful. I said I'm mighty grateful. See the breaking of day. It's destiny. That I know what I know, what I know, what I'm here for. Yeah. Oh, for showing me to the Lord tonight and directing me. Hallelujah. To my destiny. A strong God. You may not be able to touch it right now. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Hallelujah.